The first scripture reading for this morning is written in the fifth chapter of Acts, beginning at the 27th verse. When they had brought the apostles in, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and give forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one who reveals God's mercy, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In this season of Easter, Acts is used, as you noticed, in place of our First Testament reading in the first reading. Acts is a book of the adventures in a post-Easter world. It's about the infant Christian church. It contains accounts of Peter and Paul and the other apostles. It's more than just a history book. Acts tells a story of Christian communities trying to discover and articulate who they are. Acts uses stories of action and sermons, advances and setbacks, and debate and discovery. It depicts believers living into new realities of which they do not fully understand. Yet they trust. They spring forth from the resurrection and ascension of God's Messiah. Those who are portrayed in Acts operate out of a core conviction that nothing can be the same anymore, as evident in Jesus rising. And as a result, Acts attempts to impress on its readers that the whole world should look different, because now anything is possible. The adventurous thrills and bold sermons of the stories of Acts urges readers to put aside cautious rationality and canned wisdom, inviting believers in Christ to look at what becomes possible in a post-Easter world and imagine those impossible possibilities today. What are those possibilities? They are endless. Endless because God's word never finishes keeping promises, creating new communities that demonstrate salvation, welcoming those who suffer, and reshaping our religious imaginations. God is very active throughout Acts, just as God is today. Our Acts passage this morning is a small piece of a much larger adventure of Peter. We're in post-Pentecost here, where the church is born, and the apostles have been teaching and performing signs and wonders in the temple. The temple. And it has upset the powers that be and has landed them in jail. Again, mind you. As that night, prior to our text here, the evening, They had just been released by an angel of the Lord with the instructions to go preach in the temple. The angel sending them back to that same temple in which they were just arrested from. Our text picks up here with their questioning by the religious leaders, which Peter uses as opportunity to again proclaim the good news of God. This is the Peter that just last week in our scripture lessons we heard denied Jesus three times and fled in his time of need, even after Jesus told him this would happen and he announced he would never do such a thing. This is the same Peter who doubted Jesus when he told him to throw his nets on the other side of the boat after fishing all night long and having nothing to show for it. This is the same Peter with other disciples that told Jesus to send the 5,000 home that were listening to him that day on the hill because there wasn't enough food to feed them. One might say that Peter's actions that we see here in this text, these bold words, are a bit unexpected. Peter certainly came across much more calculated and cautious during Jesus' time here on earth. But now he stands before the highest ranking religious officials proclaiming the gospel. This and Peter's other messages are more than just a heroic act or a moralistic tale about the power of standing firm in one's faith. No, Peter brings a true message of God's unexpected mercy. A message contrary to what the leaders believe the apostles are actually after. The text we hear them say, or accuse even, "You are determined to bring this man's blood upon us." Speaking of Jesus, of course. It's evident that they fear the disciples, that they are seeking vengeance. But Peter's response of God's true motive is anything but that. First, Peter names God as the true authority over all of humankind, no matter the consequences, including their very own safety. They must obey God. Peter then names their commonality, saying, "The God of our ancestors." Despite their obvious belief differences, Peter claims his captors worship the same God. This is really big given the circumstances, something that we might relate to today. Finding the obvious, the commonality that they have in one another, the God, our God, the God of our ancestors. After affirming the leaders' accusations of being Jesus' murderer, Peter shares the unexpected. The expected, of course, would be condemnation and retribution. But rather, Peter shares God's message of mercy. Peter proclaims this true motive of God: mercy. God exalted Jesus despite being killed by humankind and offers mercy instead. Mercy in the form of an invitation, not condemnation. In verse 31, we read, "God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." In Jesus, God offers mercy, reorienting from vengeance to forgiveness. This is the same mercy Peter himself experienced despite denying and fleeing from Jesus. And now he's sharing it with others. Mercy. Mercy, not condemnation, is what God's kingdom is about. Such mercy is evident in the Easter story, making anything possible in a post-Easter world. Brothers and sisters, I hope you have experienced this mercy for yourselves, because God freely offers it to you, to all humankind. Jesus offers mercy to those who had him killed, forgiving them from the cross. Jesus offers mercy to the criminals hanging on those crosses beside him. Jesus offers mercy to his closest friends who abandoned him in a time of need. There is nothing, nothing beyond God's loving compassion. Nothing beyond God's loving compassion. And it's in this mercy that we're invited to do as Peter did. Peter and Paul, as we'll hear next week, made some of the largest transformation in the Acts stories. Transformational turnarounds blanketed in God's mercy. And it's in the embrace that we can experientially be messengers of good news and healing, offering to others God's promised mercy in unexpected places. Like Peter, we'll find ourselves in the midst of life's incarcerations. Incarcerations being more than just literal jail. The incarcerations of life that bind us up in debilitating illnesses, confining systems, and false messages of hope. But if there's one thing that Peter's story tells us today, that it's incarceration can't keep the good news caged up, nor its messengers. Incarceration cannot keep the good news nor its messengers locked up. And these uncredentialed preachers of the word, the bringers of good news from Galilee, won't remain quiet. And after Easter, nothing can keep them caged up. In this post-Easter world, brothers and sisters, God can frustrate any device, any means used to make people captive. And God does so by extending unexpected and divine mercy to all. He does it by extending unexpected and divine mercy to all. The good news of God's mercy is that it is for all people, especially for those who try to lock it up, or even those who try to eliminate its messengers. The good news of Jesus Christ isn't a message of God's wrath on those people. God's intentions, God's promise for the world is the resurrected Christ. What God promises and accomplishes is life rather than death. Freedom rather than confinement. Repentance and forgiveness rather than murder and revenge. God promises mercy above all else. This brothers and sisters, this is good news worthy of witness in our words and our actions. Amen.